Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Revelation chapter 1, and we're going to go to verse 1. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. If you're there, can you say, I got it? If you're reading on the screen, can you say, I got it? The word of the Lord says this. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angels unto his servant John. Everybody say John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all the things that he saw. I really feel the Holy Ghost here tonight, and I believe that Jesus is going to do something very special here tonight. I want to talk to you for a few moments on this subject, John's greatest revelation. John's greatest revelation. Would you put your Bibles down? Would you lift up your hands? And would you pray out loud with me for just a moment? I'm calling on some people of prayer to tap in right now, if you could. Come on, the people of prayer that are in this room, I want you to pray out loud. Oh, God. Oh, come on, I feel something's turning right now. Come on, just press right there for just a moment. I'll take time off my message if you'll pray just a minute, because I don't want to preach long tonight. So we might as well break through it right now. Come on, intercessor, break through, because something's about to happen in this house. It's already here. It's already in this place here tonight. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Oh, clap your hands as loud as you can. And as you clap your hands, I wish you'd shout, Jesus! Come on, somebody shout hallelujah! In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen, amen, amen. John's greatest revelation. You may be seated. And I mentioned some committee members tonight, and I almost forgot. One of the best ones, our director of promotion, Brother Zachary Taylor, is here tonight. Give it up for our director of promotions. You know, life is fun, especially in my house right now, because I have three small kids, still pretty small. And the older I get, the more I love and appreciate my personal quiet time, right? Anybody here like a little quiet time? Is there any introverts besides me in the house? I enjoy that time, that quiet time with the Lord. And devotion has changed for me over the years. My favorite time of the day is the morning. Not because I'm a morning person. People keep telling me, Nathan, if you keep getting up at 6 o'clock, you're just going to naturally wake up at 6 o'clock. But it hasn't happened for me yet. Will y'all pray for me that God will do that? Because I still need my alarm clock every single day. It's not because I'm a morning person, but that's the time that I set aside to spend some time with Jesus. It's that morning devotion time. That's for me. But in the evening, my wife and I like to set a time of devotion with our kids before bed. And so how many believes that it'd be good for our kids to be learning about Jesus in the home? And I know this is a youth rally, but you can still say amen. All right. And so family devotion is usually short and sweet for our short and sweet kiddos. Their attention span doesn't last very long. They're usually bouncing all over the place, and it's crazy. We're still trying. But we usually will read a Bible story, and then we'll ask at the end. We'll say, all right, is there any questions? Now, this opens the door for conversation and an opportunity to learn something new about Jesus as a family. However, I've learned that when it comes to family devotion, not all scripture is created equal, right? Allow me to explain what I mean. For example, just recently, our nightly family devotion brought more questions than it did answers and more nightmares than rest for our kiddos. You see, our kids have an illustrated Bible, so I sat down one night at the bed and I opened up the pages, maybe hoping for some good lighthearted reading, you know, right before bed to create an atmosphere of rest and sweet dreams, you know, maybe something from the book of Psalms. But I just kind of opened it up and I landed on the book of Revelations, chapter 13. Now, allow me to jog your memory just in case you haven't read Revelations 13 lately. Now, keep in mind, my kids are 8, 6, and 3. This is Revelations 13 and 1. The word of the Lord says, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Just a little light reading before bed. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. I closed my Bible as I do every night. I looked around the room and I said, all right, are there any questions? Needless to say, bedtime was delayed that night with many questions that Daddy had to answer about the leopard, bear, lion, dragon man from Revelations 13. Everybody can breathe easy here tonight, because I'll allow somebody much more qualified in end-time prophecy than myself to preach on the daunting, symbolic, prophetic nature of the leopard, bear, lion, dragon man. However, you don't have to be a great Bible scholar to know that the book of Revelation was written by John. Everybody say John. John the disciple. And that is who I want to preach to you about tonight. I want to preach to you about an amazing disciple named John. John is believed to have written 5 books in the New Testament: the Gospel of John, the letters of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and of course the book of Revelation, which is a book of prophecy. Now, I want you to understand tonight, from the beginning of time, Jesus has used the process of revelation to reveal himself to people. I want you to look at your neighbor and tell him, God uses revelation. Come on, look at your next neighbor and tell him that. Say, God uses revelation. The etymology of the word revelation is simply to reveal, to disclose information or knowledge to man by a divine supernatural agency. This is why John said in Revelation 1 and 3, which is actually my personal favorite book, chapter of Revelation, my favorite verse is Revelation 1 and 3, where he said, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of prophecy. He said, you're not going to be blessed because you understand all of it. Is anybody thankful for that revelation tonight?
You're not going to be blessed because you know the exact day that Jesus is coming. You're not going to be blessed because you've got all the understanding, he said. But if you'll just open it and read it and listen to what it has to say, he said, God is going to bless you. Child of God, I want you to know that there are some things that can only be understood through the revealing power of the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you, you can try to analyze it. You can try to figure it out. But is there anybody here tonight that understands that when the Holy Ghost begins to move, some things are going to happen that you're not going to understand? And you've got to make a decision. Am I going to sit here and analyze everything, or am I going to be blessed? Am I going to sit here and try to figure it all out? Or do you want to be blessed? Oh, no, I'm telling you, there's a lot of frustrated Christians because they want to understand everything. And the problem is, I don't have the ability to understand everything. You do not have the ability to understand everything. Sometimes God does things that I don't understand. Oh, can I get a few witnesses in this house? There are some times where I just have to say, God, I trust you. There's some times where I just have to say, God, I know that you're still good. God, I know that what I'm going through doesn't look good, but you're still good. Oh, he will begin to reveal things to you over time. Is there anybody here tonight that maybe could testify that looking back over your life, you have some understanding now that you didn't know back then? Come on, that when I look back over my life and I look things over, I can see that I'm blessed. But my friends, I'm talking to some people tonight in the Holy Ghost. You don't feel blessed right now. Oh, you're not feeling blessed right now. And God wants to reveal to you his goodness tonight. It says in John 16 and verse 13, it says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into, everybody shout, all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. I want you to hear me tonight, that life is going to present a lot of things that you cannot understand right now. But if you'll keep living for God through the process of revelation, I need somebody to help me tonight, because I'm not going to be a great preacher tonight. I'm going to be a reacher. I'm telling you, I'm reaching for somebody tonight because you're in the middle of a mess. But I came to tell you that God is still good. Oh, I want to tell you, it's through revelation. That's God revealing himself. It says the Spirit will guide you into all truth. Some of y'all are teaching Bible studies right now, and you want them to understand everything about holiness and everything about God. And you're getting frustrated because you feel like, I keep telling them, but it feels like they're not listening. But if you'll just keep believing God, if you'll just keep teaching the Word, if you'll just keep trusting in God, God will reveal. Hear me right now. If you reveal it to them, it might not last. But if God reveals it, to them, then it will last a lifetime. I want to tell you, you got to keep teaching that Bible study. You got to keep praying for that person that it feels like they're just not changing. But God is revealing himself. God is revealing himself. I remember teaching one of my best friends. His name is Marte. I taught him a Bible study for years. For 5 years, I would meet with him at Starbucks, and we would talk about things like Jesus' name baptism and repentance. We would talk about the infilling of the Holy Ghost. We had different opinions on the infilling of the Holy Ghost. We had different opinions on Jesus' name baptism. But I want to tell you, when somebody has a different opinion than you, it's not time to give up on them, and it's not time to stop believing in them. Because after 5 years, I'll never forget Marte calling me and saying, Nathan, I was just reading Acts chapter 2, and I know you've been telling me over and over again, but God just revealed it. I want to tell you, God can do in one moment what I can't do in 5 years through revelation. Oh, and then he said, my wife wants to be baptized. He said, my son wants to be baptized. He said, Nathan, my brother wants to be baptized. Because when God gets a hold of somebody, it can't be stopped. Oh, would you lift your hands all over this room and would you pray? Would you pray for revelation right now? Because there's people in this room. You're waiting on a man to fix it for you. But only God can fix this for you. Oh, only God can do this tonight. I want you to know that people that will submit themselves to things that they can't fully understand have a special place in the heart of God. You're frustrated, but God's saying, I can work with this. I want you to know that people who will continue to read things that they cannot understand. Can we get a witness? Aren't you glad that God will minister to you? Have you ever read the word and said, what did that mean? What was that? Revelation chapter 13, I still don't know what all that means. But I want you to know people that will open it up and read it and say, God, will you reveal it to me? God says, you're going to be blessed. I'm going to reveal something to you, because revelation is reserved for the seeker. Revelation is reserved for the seekers in the room tonight. I didn't say you have all the answers. I said you're a seeker. I didn't say you have it all figured out and you're living perfect. I said you're a seeker. And when you're a seeker, God says, I can do something with them. God reserves revelation. God reserves revelation for those he can trust to steward what he reveals to them. God will not reveal to you what you cannot steward. Because he loves you too much to put revelation on you that you can't hold on to. Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Oh God. Matthew 7:7 says, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Everybody shout, seek. I want you to shout it like you believe it. Shout, seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks will find. I'm talking to somebody tonight that you're frustrated, but if you'll just keep reading, I'm talking to somebody tonight that you're frustrated, but if you'll just keep praying, God is going to reveal himself. Lift your hands and pray out loud. Come on. Pray out loud and press for just a moment, because it doesn't have to be the altar call. God could drop revelation in your spirit. God could drop revelation in that Bible study that's not even in this room. I'm telling you, there's people seeking God right now that are not in this room. I said there are people seeking God right now that are not in this room. But we get so discouraged by process. And the problem is, God uses process. He's always used process. If you'll keep seeking, Jesus will keep revealing. And here's the thing about a true seeker. They never stop seeking. You want to know who a real seeker is? They never stop. They say, God, I want to know you more. God, I want to pray a little bit more. Every time if you open that word and you think you know everything, God cannot speak to you. If you open up your mouth and pray and you think you know everything, God will not hear you. But when you open up your heart and say, God, I want to learn. Oh, God, I want to learn something. I want to learn tonight. Then God will bring the answer that you've been seeking. I'm preaching to you tonight about John's greatest revelation. It could be argued that Jesus revealed more to John than anyone else in the scriptures. In Revelation 4, John describes being transported to heaven in the spirit. I've never been transported to heaven in the spirit. I would love to get to see heaven. I'd love to just see it and get to tell all y'all about it. But I have to tell you what John said about it, because God showed it to John. It says he saw God sitting on a throne. It said he saw a holy city. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. He saw things that absolutely blows our minds when we read it. And Jesus revealed heaven to him. But heaven was not his greatest revelation. John records 7 miracles that he saw with his own eyes. But miracles were not his greatest revelation. We know that miracles cannot hold somebody in truth. There were many people that saw miracles. The feeding of the 5,000 is right after that he begins to teach them a hard teaching. He said, my blood is the wine and my flesh is the bread. He said, you have to take of me. And they said, this is a hard teaching. And it says, many people left. It says they had all just seen a miracle, but they left, because miracles cannot sustain you. Miracles was not his great. And listen, if you know me, if you know Nathan, I still believe in miracles, don't you? I do. God's going to do miracles here tonight. But miracles were not his greatest revelation. John has a revelation of the oneness of God. Anybody here still believe in one God? We're a one God people. We preach it. We love it. When we sing about it, we get pumped. When I quote Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord," that ought to still excite us. I want to tell you, Georgia, the oneness of God should still excite us. It shouldn't just excite our elders. It should excite the young people. Our elders shouldn't be the only ones who have the revelation of that. We should have that revelation ourselves. But I want to tell you tonight, even the oneness of God was not his greatest revelation. It said in John 1:1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John absolutely understood that there was one God. It said in John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh. That means he knew that Jesus was that one God and dwelt among us, and he beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, we love this truth, and we should. He had a full revelation that God is one, but the oneness of God was not his greatest revelation. All these revelations were powerful, but the greatest of them had nothing to do with a lion, a bear, a leopard, or a dragon. John's greatest revelation was not found in the book of Revelation. It was found in the Gospel of John. This revelation is found 6 times in John's Gospel. Everybody say John. The first time we see this revelation, we arrive on a scene where you would not expect revelation. We arrive on a scene of one of the most heartbreaking moments in all of Scripture. It's the moment at the Lord's Supper where Jesus looks at his disciples and he says to his 12 disciples, he says these words, "One of you shall betray me." Can you imagine sitting at that table? 12 of you. And Jesus, and he looks at you and says, "One of you are going to betray me." And the Bible tells us, we know now, because we're blessed to have his word and look in retrospect, that Judas would betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. One of their closest comrades and fellow laborers of the gospel has made the worst mistake of his life. I'm sure for John writing the history in this account of the gospel, it had to be so painful for him. You have to understand that when we read the Bible, sometimes we don't mean to, but it feels so impersonal to us. It can feel so distant to us because we're not there. But I want you to imagine the people in life and ministry that you work the closest with. I want you to picture the people that you never thought were going to walk away from God. I want you to picture the people that when you think about them, it brings warmth to your heart, that you love them, you care about them, you break bread with them, you minister together, you spend time together in the youth group, you spend time together at the Hyphen Hangout, and that is what John is grieving. He's grieving someone that has worked with him. He's been at all the hangouts. He's been there. He's seen the miracles. And in the middle of betrayal, in the middle of pain, he writes his greatest revelation in John 13:23. "Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved." Oh, my friends, the book of Revelation has 9,851 words, but John's greatest revelation can be summed up in just 3. Jesus loves me. Oh, my friends, Jesus loves me. I want you to hear me tonight. John is famously known as John the Beloved. Why is this? I want you to notice with me that the disciple whom Jesus loves is referenced 6 times in the Gospel of John. 6 times he references that there's a disciple whom Jesus loves. The first time, John was referring to Lazarus, which we know is a dear friend of Jesus. Somebody that John, when he looked at Lazarus, he said, "Man, Jesus really loves Laz. Man, Jesus, he really cares about Laz." But the other 5 times, he's not referring to Lazarus. He's referring to himself. I said he's referring to himself. Are you ready for this revelation? John the disciple wrote the gospel according to John. Every time John has to give an account of himself, he never references himself in first person pronouns like I or me, or he never even tells the story from a narrator's perspective. But when John gets to himself, when he's writing about Judas, when he's writing about Matthew, when he's writing about Peter, he writes their name. But when he has to account for where he was at the story, when he has to tell people, let me tell you where I was at, here's how he puts himself in the story. And the disciple who Jesus loved, every time he talked about himself, he referred to himself. Oh, I want to tell you that every revelation is a powerful revelation, but those other revelations can't help you if you don't believe this revelation. I said, if you don't believe this revelation, you can't receive any other revelation. John 13, John 19, John 20, John 21, they all refer to John. He's writing it. Oh, here I am. I remember this moment. I remember how bad it felt when Jesus said somebody was going to betray him. I was wondering, surely it's not me. Surely it can't be me. And he gets to the story and he writes himself and he says, and at the table was the disciple whom Jesus loved. Oh, I feel so strong in the Holy Ghost tonight. A wave of God's love is about to hit this place tonight. I'm talking things he cannot show you until you get this. I'm talking to people tonight that need this revelation. And you think, Nathan, how could you go to church? And people need that revelation. Oh, I want to tell you, I've been in way too many churches that needed this revelation. Busy working for God, but they feel like he doesn't even love them. Oh, they're working on the praise team. They're singing every single Sunday and they go home and they say, do you even love me? Oh, I'm talking to people. You're the Robin Williams of the group. You're the funny man. You're the one. You come in and you make everybody laugh, but you go home and you cry and you say, God, are you there? God, can you hear me? I'm talking to people tonight. I'm telling you, I've heard from God. There's people in this room tonight that God is going to reveal himself to you. I'm talking about a revelation so simple, but it's the most powerful revelation you'll ever receive. And it's as simple as this. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves. I know Judas lost it, but God still loves me. I know my friend messed up, but God loves me. I know I messed up. Oh, lift your hands all over this place. Come on, I need a prayer warrior to pray right now. I'm not going to be much longer, but we're pressing up against it. Because the problem is not that God is not speaking. The problem is that the enemy's voice is so loud in your life. Because every time you go to pray, he reminds you of all the things you've done wrong and all the reasons why you shouldn't be here. But I'm telling you tonight that you've got to silence that. I'm talking about people tonight that when people betray me, you can say, he loves me. I'm talking that when friends walk away from God, he loves me. When I don't have the answers, he loves me. When I was unlovable, he loved me. When I was lost, he loved me. When I was addicted, he loved me. When I was rejected, he loved me. The greatest sermon ever preached is not a message that is preached to you. The greatest revelation is a sermon. You got to preach to yourself. Because I can sit here tonight red in the face and I can scream at you that Jesus loves you. But when something shifts is in your mind, you can lift your hands and say, God, I believe you love me. God, I know I'm in a mess, but I don't think you left me. Oh God, I know I'm in the middle of chaos, but I want to ask you something. Can God trust you with his love? Or every time hardship comes, he can't use you for what he wants to use you for, because every time you move on to the next revelation, you're struggling with this one. Every time God wants to use you, he wants you. I'm telling you, there are people in this room. I want you to hear me. There are preachers in this room. There are soul winners in this room. There are missionaries in this room. There are musicians. There are anointed song leaders in this room. There are songwriters in this room. And every time you go to your giftings and you go to your struggle and God goes to use you, He gave you his love, and you start to say, oh, if that happened, maybe he's not real. Oh, maybe. I want to tell you, the people that God can use are the people that they're not Superman. They're not Superwoman. They're not any different than you. They've just got a revelation that no circumstance can take from them. They've got a revelation that no person can take from them. And when the world goes crazy and hell starts to break loose, you can lift your hands and say, God, I trust you. I don't like this at all. A matter of fact, I hate it, but I know that you love me. Oh, lift your hands and pray right now. Come on, lift your hands and intercede. I'm talking to somebody that God wants to use you, but you keep going back to square one. I want to tell you, when you read John's book, it's a little different than all the other books because he's obsessed with something. And what he's obsessed about is every time he writes something down, it could be bad, it could be good, it could be mid, it could just be whatever. It could just be the most mundane thing you've ever experienced in your life. And he's obsessed. He says, oh, God must really love me to let me. Oh, God must really love me that he'd let me sit at the table, not just at the table, but I'm close enough to touch him. I'm close enough to lean on him. I'm talking about a revelation that gets you close to God. I'm talking about a revelation that gets you so close to God that you're not content. It's an obsession that you get with God, but that obsession doesn't happen without knowing he loves. I wish I could tell you tonight. I wish I could tell you tonight that I'm preaching from a place of such great authority. Oh, I've never struggled with this. Oh, I've always known. Oh, I wish I could tell you tonight. Oh, Georgia District Youth President. Oh, I wish I could stand in front of you tonight in a place of great authority and tell you tonight, I'm preaching on this tonight because I've got it all figured out. Oh, I'm preaching on this tonight for the Chavis because I've never struggled, so I can help them out. I can help them out. But I want to tell you, there's been seasons in my life. I received the Holy Ghost when I was 7 years old. When I was 7 years old, God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I was that kid that always thought I missed the rapture. Every time my parents walked out to the backyard, I was, Jesus, no! Oh, God, I missed it. Because I was so scared. I was so scared that I was going to miss it. I was so scared. And I remember when I got the Holy Ghost, I cried. And I got baptized that day, and I felt the love of God. I felt it wash all over me. I became obsessed with God at 7 years old. But fast forward into life, fast forward into adulthood, and you know in your heart, you know that God is good. You know in your heart that He's faithful. But then somebody hurts you, and somebody offends you, and you see people do wrong. They're not just saints. You see ministry do wrong. You see men of God mess up and women of God mess up. And I remember, guys, 2025 has just been a really cool year. I've really enjoyed it. But 2024 was a rough year for me. I was in a battle in my mind. Every time I went to go pray, it would feel like I couldn't pray. Every time I went to lift my hands, I would still lift them, but they felt so heavy. They felt so heavy. And I remember just months working for God, so busy working for God. And I'd go home and I'd be so frustrated. And I would go to pray and I would pray this prayer. I'd say, God, why do you feel so far from me right now? I love you. Why do you feel so far from me? And I remember this. It's about a year ago. I walked into my daughter's room, and I have a little tradition I do. She's three. So we still do it every night. I'll go into her room. I still rock her to sleep every night because she's my girl. The boys, I'm like, just go get in bed. But for her, I'm like, I'll rock you to sleep. And so I'll go in. And I remember when she was just 6 months old, when she was one, I would look at her and I would rock her and I would sing, yes, Jesus loves Kyla. Yes, Jesus loves Kyla. Yes, Jesus loves Kyla. The Bible tells me so. And I'd sing it. And she'd fall asleep. And I remember one night, she was two. She just started to really talk really clearly. She hasn't stopped talking yet. She's still going. And I went into that room. And I'd had a terrible day. I'd had a frustrated day. And I went in and I sang to her, yes, Jesus loves Kyla. The Bible. It tells me so. And I laid her down. And I got up. And I went to walk out of that room. And when I opened the door, I heard, Daddy! Daddy! Sit. I went and I sat in that rocking chair. And when I sat down, she got in my lap and she looked at me and she said, Daddy, rock. And I began to rock. She grabbed me by the face and she said, yes, Jesus loves Daddy. Yes, Jesus loves Daddy. Yes, Jesus loves Daddy. The Bible tells me so. And I'll tell you, 33 years old, tears pouring down my face. My little girl praying for me because she can tell something's got. I want to tell you that she got that revelation that God loved her. But when she got that revelation at 2 that God loved her, then God released her to remind me. I didn't even realize that why was I so frustrated? I needed a fresh revelation that Jesus loves me. It took a little girl to remind me in my frustration that I began to speak in tongues in that rocking chair. I want to tell you, over the last year of my life, everywhere I go, you can't convince me God doesn't love me. Everywhere that I go, people can talk bad about me. I say, it must be because God loves me. He wants to anoint me more. People can get behind my back and start talking, and I say, God must be wanting to anoint me. God must be wanting to use me. I can get up and lead worship, and I can be used in the gifts of the Spirit because the love of God. I want to tell you, there's a fresh revelation that is flowing through this house tonight, but you got to open up your eyes. Come on, lift your hands. Come on, lift your hands. Lift your hands all over this room. A musician can come. I don't need the whole praise team. Come on, lift your hands and pray right now. I feel a holy halt in this place. I got lots to preach. But I'm telling you that a fresh revelation. I know your tie looks nice. I know your suit is expensive. Young ladies, I know you got dressed up and you smiled when you walked in. But every time you lift your hands to pray, you wonder, is he even really here? Was it even real when I spoke in tongues? Did he really forgive me in the water? Or should I be baptized again? Maybe I've messed up too bad that he doesn't love me anymore. But I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, by the authority of the Word of God, I release revelation to you that God's love is not for everybody else. It's for you. It's for you. Oh, I know you believe in one God. I'm not questioning your doctrine. But the oneness of God can't help you much if you don't believe that one God loves you. Do y'all have that picture of that crown of thorns? That picture of that crown of thorns. Just put that up. When Judas betrayed Jesus and the Romans came, he could have called down 10,000 angels. He could have stopped it just like that, but he didn't, because it's the reason he came. And the disciples, I'm not here at all to throw shade at the disciples. Please do not misread what I'm saying here. But when you get to the foot of the cross, they're all so scared for their lives. I'm not here to throw shade at them. I'm not. They're all under great persecution. They gave their lives for Christ. I would never speak poorly about them. But when you get to the foot of the cross, there is a disciple there. And it's John. John is there.
John 19, 25. I would imagine if I were John, and I've seen all these miracles. I've seen Jesus Christ of Nazareth literally just turn the world upside down. Just change the world forever. I would be thinking, God, couldn't there be another way? Come on, is it just me, or would that maybe be you? God, do you have to die? I love you, Jesus. I don't want to see you die. I would be frustrated. You're the Messiah. Prove him wrong, God. Prove him wrong. Show him you're real, God. Jesus, just show him you're real. Come down off that cross. Smite them. But that's not what happened. Jesus got up on that cross. And it says in John 19, 25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. Three Marys and John. John 26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, John looks up and he sees Jesus dying on a cross, and he sees Jesus. Jesus looks down at him, and here's how he records how Jesus looked at him. And this disciple standing by, whom he loved. Everybody's grieving. Everybody's hurting. People are mocking. They're spitting on him. They're laughing at him. And all John can see, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. And Jesus looked at John, and he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Verse 27, then saith he to the disciple, behold my mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. Jesus could see that John's revelation was so deep. I want you to take care of my own mother. Because he knew how could you stand here, John? How could you look at me? How could you see this? He knew that he could be trusted to steward that love. While everyone else looked at crimson cross, and they all saw blood and tears, nails. All he could see was Jesus loves me. I'll never forget looking at a young man in my youth group. He sat in the back with headphones on. Felt like he was never listening. I went up to him one day. All I said was, hey man, Jesus loves you. So wide. He came to me, he said, can I meet you after service? I said, yes. He said, I just wanted to let you know that nobody's ever told me that before. He came to camp. God filled him with the gift of the Holy Ghost. He was baptized in the name of Jesus. I want to tell you, is there anybody here tonight? I want us to close our eyes and lift our hands. There's people here tonight that God is about to pour out. He is about to show you things. He's about to show you things. But we got to get this settled right here tonight. That there is no greater revelation than the fact that, God, I know that you love me.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.